We live in a broken world. I don't think anyone's going to fight me on that one. Because unless you've been living in a cave, you can't really deny it. We face death, sickness, poverty, violence, racism, sexism, all the other isms. There is a large gap between the way the world is and the way the world is supposed to be. And the most painful part is that we human beings are the cause of really most of it. So, my friends, to put it simply in the language of today's gospel, we have a weed problem. And I don't mean out here because it actually looks pretty good. In this parable, there's a good chance Jesus is talking about a weed called the bearded darnel. And I should be the last person to talk about agriculture since I have whatever the opposite of a green thumb is. I can kill a cactus, literally. But I think the background is important to understand what's going on. So this darnel is related to ryegrass, but in the early stages of its growth, it looks like wheat. And so it was really hard for the farmers to distinguish it from the crops that they had planted until the ears started to form. And by then, the roots of the weeds had intertwined so much with the roots of the wheat plants that they couldn't pluck them out without killing the wheat. The problem, however, is that darnel is poisonous. So even a few wheats in a harvest would spoil the entire crop and it would have to be thrown out. It's quite the problem. And if we want to use our imaginations a little bit, I think we could say it sort of sounds like the church. Because we expect our churches to be full of loving, caring, virtuous people. But let's be honest, the church will disappoint us sometimes because it's actually full of us. There's still gossip, there's still discrimination. It is not all kumbaya in the church as much as we would like it to be. Saint Augustine called us a corpus permixtum, a mixed body of saints and sinners, all sitting in the pews together. And no, on the heels of Deacon Bill's sermon last week, I'm not going to ask you to go around and figure out who is which. Especially today, because a key point of the parable is God will do the sorting, not us. All we can do is love each other and try to do better. And even if we could find one, the problem is, sticking with the parable, sometimes the weeds don't look like weeds, at least not all the time. It would be so much easier if they did. That's not how it works. There's a Russian author who won a Nobel Prize, and I've given up pronouncing his name from the pulpit because I always get it wrong. But he wrote this: "If only there were evil people somewhere insidiously committing evil deeds, and it were only necessary to separate them from the rest of us. But the line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being." I can tell you, in both of my careers, I have seen both the best and the worst of human nature. Sometimes, maybe even quite often, from the very same people. The point is, we all look like weeds sometimes. So I think it is a good thing that God is not going out to pluck them just yet. The Apostle Paul, in his writing, clearly understood that problem as well as anyone, maybe better. See, in his life, he was beaten, stoned, shipwrecked 3 times, and thrown in prison for a chunk of his ministry career before he's eventually martyred for the cause. He did not have an easy road. But yet, even with all that, he can say that his suffering was still worth it somehow. That his present troubles, and by extension, ours, they're just the blink of an eye. Just a speck of time compared to what is to come. So, what is to come? I don't know. I'll tell you first what I think it isn't. It is not that good Christians like Paul and many others will die one day, sprout wings, and fly around heaven. It sounds great, but human beings are not angels. Humans are humans, totally different creatures. Two things I am pretty confident about. First, we will be in the presence of God when we die, at the end of it all. And I really have no idea what it looks like. But I'm willing to trust that a good God has a good plan. I'm willing to trust that whatever it looks like, it's going to be perfect. Now, I get it. For many people, an eternity of life as we are living it right now maybe doesn't sound that great, right? For those who are working two jobs or have broken relationships or loved ones dying left and right, if you think it's hard to get out of bed some mornings and you think there's got to be something more than this, I get it. And there is. It's not just us and our neighbors who feel the pain of this broken world. As Paul put it, all of creation is groaning. Groans to be made right again. Groans to return to the goodness for which it was made. Groans for the day where there's no more war or pollution or animal cruelty. To get that vision, I suggest reading the book of Revelation. We don't get it a ton in our lectionary. We pull from it more actually at funerals than anything else. But if you read those passages, it talks about a new heaven and a new earth. And not in the sense of throwing out everything we have now and just starting over, but to use Tom Wright's very English phrase, it is a world put to rights. It is a world made right again. It is creation restored to perfection. And so when we, quite frankly, get pissed off at the way things are today, we are not alone. All of creation groans with us. Groans to be weeded once and for all. What does that mean in the meantime? Well, I mean, I think we have to be patient. I think we have to enjoy the ups and downs. We have to celebrate the good when we have it. Throw out the weeds when we can pluck them easily. And we have to participate in that creation. Let our groans join with it, because the kingdom of heaven is both now and not yet, right? It's this great paradox. It's begun in Christ, but everything hasn't been fixed yet. I think it's been super cliche lately, and by lately I mean the last couple decades, but the point is we have to be the change we want to see. It's not going to happen on its own yet. If we want the world to learn the power of, say, radical forgiveness, it's got to start here with us. If we want to bring an end to violence or poverty or hatred, we have to lead the way. Because you don't get any weed killer. But there is indeed wheat fertilizer. We can grow the wheat stronger. So let's go look for that. In fact, we might even find it here.